Find your way in your Bibles to Acts chapter 25. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the wonderful truth of the resurrection from the dead, that you, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, would come and die and rise again from the dead, no more to die. Power over death, eternal life. Lord, a life that had never been lived, firstborn from the dead. Lord, we too are the first fruits. It's that evidence and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so tonight, Lord, want to be stirred up to be your witnesses, to live for you, to be bold, to live our lives in such a way that those in our lives would know that we're new in you. And just pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we've been studying through the life of the Apostle Paul, you maybe didn't know that, but we've been doing this since Acts chapter, really, 13, concerning the work and ministry, how the Holy Spirit was in Paul's life, how the Holy Spirit led his life, and how Paul would make decisions. And we find him, really, the last few chapters here, we find him really bound, if you will. He's in prison, you know, by Rome, but really handed over by the Jews, and he does not have his personal freedoms. In fact, he was left 2 years under Felix's, really under his governorship, and Paul was left in prison. Now, have a couple ways of looking at things, right, concerning our lives, and even when pastors teach the life of Paul going up to Jerusalem and him getting bound and then in prison, some Bible teachers will teach he never should have went up there. Because you recognize Paul has been locked up for 2 years. You're like, you think of all the ministry that could have happened if he hadn't gone that way and if he had gone another way. But a lot of times we don't know these things. But I have this sense that the Apostle Paul was doing what he believed God wanted him to do. Now, I hope to illustrate that whichever way you go sometimes, God still can have access to your life. And no matter what you might think that if I make the wrong decision, then none of this is going to happen. Well, the reality is the Lord's with you wherever you go. In fact, when you come to the Great Commission, which really is the commission, to go therefore and make disciples of every nation, the grammar actually describes as you go. So wherever you go, you take Jesus with you, and whether that would be a left turn or a right turn sometimes, that's really up to you sometimes. Now, we did discover the Apostle Paul, as he was living his life, that he was wanting to go to the population centers when he first went out. He saw where people were at. He's like, I want to go there and preach Christ. In fact, when he does see that and do that, the only way he describes it, every time he tried to do that, he said the Spirit stopped him from going that direction and then finally led him to where he wanted to be. Well, in the Old Testament, the record exists of a young man who was taken captive by his brothers intending to kill him. But instead, one of the brothers rose up and said, instead of killing him, let's sell him and make some profit. And the other thing, he was intending to free his brother, a couple brothers at work there, trying to keep Joseph from being killed. And then they sold him into slavery. Now, he was down there a long time, probably 12 years before all that takes place from when Joseph was sold into slavery. 12 years later, he's standing one day in front of the most powerful man in the whole world as he stands before Pharaoh. Now, I put this before you, what we've already studied with the Apostle Paul, that God has him exactly where he wants him to be, or in other words, where Paul is at, God is now going to direct people across his path to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Now, it's been said this way, and you can decide what you want to do, but this is how I live my life. I want to bear fruit in the field that I'm planted in. Make sense? Where I'm at, I want to live for Jesus there. Whenever I try to think, I will live for Jesus, if I just had a different job, my witness would be better, or if I just lived in a different neighborhood, or if I lived in a different town, certainly is my work. If I had a different job, I'd have a better testimony for Jesus. Well, the reality is that's not true. Here's this most wonderful truth I've learned out of all that maneuvering that I've seen in people's lives, including my own, that wherever I go, I take myself with me. See, and this is what happens for the Apostle Paul. We enter into this in chapter 25, when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. I remind you that Felix had been the governor for 4 years before he was tangled up with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul put a great witness in front of Felix, and Felix postponed receiving the gospel. Instead, Felix, together with his wife Drusilla, wife number three, again, she's a daughter of the Herod's family, and together they come and they hear the gospel from the Apostle Paul. I'm just going to lay this before you. God has Paul in place to preach the gospel now to the rulers of Judea, and Paul is in prison, and he's right there, and the rulers can now parade in front of him, and the Apostle Paul shares the gospel with them. Now, as I'm reading through the scriptures, again, reading through the Bible, my goal this year is 2 years through the Bible. I finished when we were down in Omaha, and my goal is I'm halfway through the year. From the end of September, 6 months, that puts me on about 7 months. I'm finishing up the Bible this next week, okay? And I'm going to read it again this year, and that's my goal. And as I say that, I only do that to like, you know, if you think as a pastor, all I do is just come and teach studies, or just, you know, professionally, got to prepare this, have to have something to say. Let's face it, this life of Christ is genuine and real, and I want to know him. I want to spend more time with him, and I want to do the things that's God's will. And as I just lay this out, our Lord said to his apostles, he said that you're going to stand before rulers and kings. And he says, when you stand before them, don't worry about what you're going to answer them. That is in, I think I'm in Mark, I just finished up Mark 14, somewhere right in there off the top of my head. And to stand before kings and rulers, and it says, don't rehearse. The Holy Spirit's going to give an answer. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to the rulers of this world. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to those, and the Holy Spirit wants to talk to the people in your life concerning the person of Jesus Christ. We come on a day like this, and we really, if we're honest, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, for many people, Easter has been reduced down to, again, a meaningless holiday for those out in the world. In fact, the practices that take place and traditions, and almost every holiday can be reduced down to traditions that are done without meaning, and then we go on our way and really miss. But what a great opportunity we have to boldly declare the witness of Jesus Christ. And when Paul is with Festus now, Festus has replaced Felix at the Jews' request. They wanted to get rid of Felix. So Festus now comes onto the scene, and he's Roman through and through. Did I turn the heat down too much, Tally? Okay, we can split the difference. Okay, if things get out of control and your hood comes up, I'm going to go adjust the heat back. We had Jim up here dying of heat stroke, and I couldn't get him to take the button down, so we had to turn the heat down a little bit. So with the Jews not wanting Felix, they're given Festus. This is a Roman name through and through. Festus, and in fact, as we uncover this, Festus is at a place, I'm going to put this before you, a place he really doesn't want to be. Most of the Romans who were assigned to Israel did not want to be there. In fact, Festus is going to die in office. Okay. He will only ever really make it about 2 years as the governor of Judea. But the other thing is, he actually was a good governor by how history records the type of ruling that he did. Felix was cruel. Felix really ruled with an iron hand. Now, Festus comes onto the scene, and immediately he goes up to Jerusalem. Now, you get the backdrop. The backdrop is, the Jews in Judea were causing problems for Rome. They switched Felix out, put in a new ruler, Festus, that they brought in from the outside. He does not know the things that have happened. This is all new for him. He shows up on the scene and he immediately goes up to Jerusalem. Now, not too much has changed, right? The world says that Jerusalem's not the capital of Israel. Okay? And Israel says, Jerusalem is our capital, and yet which countries would not put their embassy there? And then Jeremy and I, we went to see it. We had to see the sign. We had to get pictures. Once Trump finally did, all Trump did was, I'm not going to postpone this anymore, because this was passed way back in Clinton's days that the embassy would move to Jerusalem. And even modern day, and all the presidents since Clinton would say, don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. Always under the pressure of the rulers of the world. Well, Trump says, I'm not going to sign it. Lo and behold, we go there where the consulate used to be. Now it's an embassy, and then there's great tacos on the way. That was Jeremy and I, our trip. We got a picture. I got a picture of him outside the embassy. He takes a picture of me, and then we got pictures of us eating tacos. But it's there. Now, when Festus shows up, he goes up to Jerusalem, and he begins to work on the relationship with the religious and political leaders. You need to understand that. When Paul was in front of the Sanhedrin together with the high priest, not only are they the religious leaders, they are in the governmental control. The high priest and chief men of the Jews informed Festus against Paul, and they petitioned him. Within 3 days, they're bringing this Paul guy up. Within 3 days, after 2 years of not being able to accuse him, not getting any ground with Felix, within 3 days, they want Festus to address Paul. Now, it's a petition and form, and they're asking for a favor. Now, you need to understand the pressure. It's the same pressure Pilate had. If you understand, as you come up to this time, maybe you concentrated a bit more and you went to the Gospels and you read the account of Jesus being betrayed and crucified. Maybe you read of the trials this week. Now, I just regularly do that because in reading through the Bible twice this year, I'm always going to be in the Gospels. You want to know why I want to be in the Gospels? Because those words are in red. And I want to hear if the Lord wants to say something to me specifically. I know that Jesus said this, and you're getting colder. All right, very good. Jesus didn't say you're getting colder, right? These words in red concerning, I want to hear from him. I want to know what he's saying. Now, we bring this up, and maybe you read how Pontius Pilate, his mind was made up. He was not going to crucify Jesus until they said what? This man made himself a king, right? He says, made himself a king. And then he found out that he said he was the Son of God. And all of a sudden he starts to get a little bit more troubled. And he said, anyone who makes himself a king makes himself an enemy of Caesar. And all of a sudden Pontius Pilate is in that same pressure between doing what's right and doing what works. And he yields up and he offers Jesus up to be crucified. Festus is in the same place. And the Jews are asking a favor against Paul, that he would summon him to Jerusalem, and for the intent of verse 3, to kill Paul, lay an ambush. They want to kill the Apostle Paul. You need to understand something. After 2 years, that desire to get rid of Paul, remember what they said? The pestilence. Get this plague off the earth. That's how they're describing him. Now, in doing so, and laying it forth this way, you need to understand, new high priest. Ananias has died in this 2 year time frame. So new high priest, again, with a new high priest, a change of government, new Sanhedrin, but the new high priest, the new governor of Rome, and they still want to get rid of the Apostle Paul. Now, it's interesting to say this as this lays out, this 2 years of time period. Now, I purposefully bring up Joseph as I bring an introduction, because Joseph was sent down into Egypt, sold as a slave, and a steward in Potiphar's house, and you know the circumstances, situations. In righteousness, he ends up in jail because he would not yield to the desires of Potiphar's wife that he would sleep with her. He wouldn't do it. And then in ending up in jail, and then he becomes the steward and the servant there, and continues until two of Pharaoh's key men get dropped into jail, as Pharaoh has problems with them, and they both have dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams. And as he gives the correct interpretation, the cupbearer and the baker, right? Cupbearer is restored to his place. The baker, off with his head. Both of those dreams were Joseph had the interpretation. The cupbearer forgot all about Joseph for how long? For 2 years. For 2 years until Pharaoh has this double dream. Seven skinny cows eating seven fat cows, and they weren't any fatter for it. The seven scrawny, you know, sickly-looking things of wheat, whatever they call them, I forget what they call them, eating up the fat and plump ones and still skinny. And when Pharaoh had that dream, all of a sudden the cupbearer, everything comes to his memory. There's a man in prison. He told me not to forget him. I forgot him. And lo and behold, after 2 years, Joseph is brought right in front of Pharaoh, giving a witness. You know what the testimony of Daniel and Joseph, what they have in common, as they both stood before the most powerful man in the world at that time? Both of them state they have the spirit of the holy God in them. This undertaking of what God did in such a way to speak to Pharaoh was not just about Joseph. In fact, it wasn't about Joseph, and yet it was about bringing Israel down to Egypt. And there's this whole plan of God unfolding, and he has Joseph in place. I just offer up to you, it might be 2 years in your life where you think nothing's going on, and a dead-end job or whatever it might be, or you maybe you've had 2 years of just trying to get out of trouble, 2 years of financial trouble until you finally can get out of it. And not ever really understanding that God being at work, he might have you in that place. So you're there, you're at that place when the person who comes in front of you needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea. He himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said to those who have authority among you, go down with me, accuse this man, and see if there's any fault in him. So he's going to retry the Apostle Paul. How long can you be kept in jail without charges in the United States? How long can you be in there without charges being made? 48 hours? 48 hours. What if you're in Mexico? How long can you be put in jail without charges being filed against you? What's that? As long as they want, indefinitely. Now you understand something about justice, judgment, right? When they literally have no reason to hold Paul in jail or prison, yet he's kept there the whole time in the remainder of Felix's reign. Now he's still there. Festus is going to retry him. What happens when you get tried for the same crime in this country? That's called double jeopardy. See, Paul is brought up, and we could say all kinds of things. Paul could say this isn't right. How many times could Joseph have cried out, and again, to anyone who was around him, it's not fair, this is not right. And I don't know if you realize, but during those 2 years where he was forgotten by the cupbearer, his stewardship remained faithful. And I just encourage us along the way, as things in our lives and things aren't going like you think they should go, or you don't feel good about things, I just remind you to be a faithful steward with what God has given you, faithfully reading your word, faithfully praying, faithfully prepared in an instant to do whatever God wants to do in your life. We find that the Apostle Paul is going back into trial. Festus is going to see if there's any fault in him. And when he remained among them more than 10 days. So if you get this straight, Festus, new governor of Judea, procurator, within the first 3 days is up in Jerusalem, and he spends 10 days with the religious leaders. He's in his first 2 weeks of his term. Okay. This is what's going on. And he stays there 10 days. Then he went down to Caesarea the next day. So within 2 weeks, the Apostle Paul's back on trial. Now, I think this stuff is great. Not that he's on trial, not that he's in prison, but what do we learn? We learn that God has things that he's planning, and God has things that he's doing with our lives, and just being available for the circumstances in people's lives. And again, just a great thing in ministry, I'll share it with you. In all the ministry that needs to get done, don't forget about the people. Don't miss the people. They got to get the task done, got to get the task done. You do realize that those tasks are only there to bring you to people to give a good witness and or minister the love of Jesus Christ. We find, verse 7, when he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Does this sound like second trial? We've heard this already. They just start accusing Paul. Can't prove him. False accusations, empty accusations. Let's face it, they don't like Paul. They want to kill him. Yet they don't have a legal case. And this is where it's at. As they bring these complaints, they can't prove them. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. So as this trial repeats, his defense is the same. Now, let's be honest. It's not about the trial, is it? You might find that the things you go through in your life, or maybe someone doesn't like you at your work, or a circumstance that blows up with one of your family members, or whatever it might be, if you walk with the Lord and trust the Lord, you're going to find out it's usually not about the issue, but it usually is the very thing that God wants to be able to give a witness of Jesus Christ unto. The person that maybe the circumstance in their life that they would not listen to anyone else about the Lord, all of a sudden, they are ready to hear about Jesus Christ. When the Jews came down from Jerusalem and laid those serious complaints, Paul simply says, I have offended against Caesar. I've done nothing at all. But I want you to draw your attention on to verse 9. So within 2 weeks, knowing the problems that the Jews had with Felix and how the Jews petitioned to get rid of Felix and successfully got rid of him, within 2 weeks, Festus is before them, and he's already succumbing to their wishes and their pressures. Wanting to do them a favor, he answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? So in that 10-day time period of which the Jews are schmoozing Festus or pressuring Festus, hey, if this is going to work, Festus, if this is going to... We don't want you to be like Felix. That didn't work for him. If it's going to work for you, you're going to need to do this with us. And he succumbs to that and gets Paul with a question to say, come up to Jerusalem and be tried there. What are they lying in wait to do? They want to kill the Apostle Paul. They want to kill him. Paul answers. He says, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I've done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. That's the equivalent of every resident in the state of North Dakota in any legal case or trouble that they might have and that they've had a trial, they can appeal to the Supreme Court at the state of North Dakota. Now, it doesn't mean the Supreme Court's going to necessarily accept all the cases, but in a similar way, every Roman citizen, if they are in trial and they're not getting, a fair trial or the circumstances, they can appeal to Caesar, and that's what Paul does. So instead of being handed over to the Jews, he uses that Roman citizenship once again, and I just present unto you, ultimately, this is going to be the opportunity that the Apostle Paul has to continue to one day give witness before the Caesar himself. Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. Now, it takes a turn there after that appeal. It says in verse 13 that after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. Now, this is Herod the Great is the one who was alive when, again, if you've been, you traveled to Israel, you've heard of Masada, Caesarea, the Herodian. Herod the Great built all those. He had two sons, Aristobulus. Aristobulus is the father of Agrippa the First, and Herod Antipas. So Herod Antipas is the one who ruled over the Galilee region after his father's death. He married his brother's wife, Herodias, and it's Herod Antipas who ultimately takes off John the Baptist's head. Now, as we introduce that, and why we're introducing that, this King Agrippa and this Bernice, they're actually brother and sister. When we studied the life of Drusilla, Drusilla and Bernice are siblings. Drusilla is the younger sister of Bernice, and then here you have King Agrippa, still carrying the title. He's of the line of the Herods. And in describing this, it's Herod Antipas who then has... Herod Antipas, makes him the uncle of Agrippa II, who we're looking at here in verse 13. Hi, Isaac. All right, let's push play. So this Herod Agrippa is the second. This is the one now. So the father of Herod Agrippa II is Herod Agrippa I. So that, as this all puts into play of who they are. So Herod Agrippa comes down with Bernice. Bernice was said to be a woman of rare beauty. In fact, there was so much envy between Bernice and Drusilla as sisters. They both were actually married off, one at 13, the other at 14, to other kings. Now, Bernice married at 13 years of age to a man named Malchus. He died after just 2 years. Then she married her uncle, another Herod. Yeah. So this is that family. So when the apostle, when John the Baptizer stands up and says, what you're doing is not right. Okay? And I just stir this up for you and me. Right? Righteousness. John the Baptist saying this is not right. Jesus saying this is not right. Anytime that you stand up and say these things are not right, it has a cost to others to make a decision. And many times, if they have the power, they'll try to make something happen about that. So she married her uncle, another Herod. He died after 2 years. I'm not blaming her, but you see the pattern. Okay? So she's married at 13. 2 years later, her husband dies. She marries her uncle then at probably 15, somewhere right in there. He dies. After his death, she moved in with her brother. So Bernice moves in with Agrippa, King Agrippa. He also, and there soon began to be rumors of an incestuous relationship between the two, who were very close. We find them. We find Paul right where he needs to be at, as Agrippa and Bernice and the Herod's family, all the trouble going on in their lives, and they are brought before the Apostle Paul, and he's going to lay on them a wonderful witness of Jesus Christ. We'll pick that up in chapter 26 more. Here in a couple weeks, you have guest speaker next week as the Ferraris are up. Sarah has worship and David is going to be a guest speaker, bringing teaching. And then the following week, we'll be back into Acts 26. The Jews, when they finally did revolt against Rome in 66 AD. So let's do a little bit of math here. So Jesus dies around 32. Okay. About this time is 27 years later. I mean, this puts it at 59, and then 2 years Paul in jail, 61. So that what we're talking here happening in 25 is around 61 AD. In 5 years from after this time period with Bernice and Agrippa, because we're going to find out what happens to Agrippa in chapter 26. He actually dies a violent, painful, instant death after he rejected Jesus Christ. How much time did Agrippa have to hear the gospel? See, you might say Apostle Paul in prison, kept there for 2 years. Oh, what a tragedy. But you know what God does with all that? He brings and steers Bernice and Agrippa right before the Apostle Paul, and he knows exactly where he's at. Think of when Pharaoh needed a man to interpret his dream. He knew exactly where Joseph was at. What if Joseph had gotten free? Well, he might have gone back to his family, or he might have gone somewhere else and never been at that place. See, many times the delays or circumstances or difficulties in life are directly brought into our lives by God working things for other people that we don't even know about. The Jews revolted in 66 AD. So 5 years after this chapter, they send Titus Vespasian, the Romans do, and they send him, and he actually will command 3 Roman legions. By the time 70 AD rolls around, when they finally do destroy the temple, it's Titus Vespasian who is there overseeing all that. Well, when he shows up in 66 AD, lo and behold, Bernice is trying to convince the Jews not to revolt, convincing them not to revolt. A former, queen, or again, ruler, her husband ruling, trying to convince him. Well, she starts an affair with Titus. Titus Vespasian, the ruler of the Roman army, shows up there, and he starts sleeping with Bernice until Titus's wife found out, and then Bernice left, completely lacking in morals. Right? We talk about Herod's family. We get a little bit of background here, but I'm just, let's get our lives in such a way that whoever God brings into our lives, someone coming into our lives, they might be our coworker, they might be our neighbor, right? They might be living in the apartment upstairs, or, you know, you seem to understand, Jesus places his people everywhere, and he wants us to live for Christ and preach Christ. You might be right in front of somebody who completely lacks morals, and you might even see it visibly on the outside of what they're into. And I remind you, God brings people into your life so you can witness of Jesus Christ to them. Now, as I lay this out, back to verse 14, as you get a little backdrop there on Bernice. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There's a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against them. To them I answered, 'It is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has an opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charges against him.'" Sounds a little bit about like some of our rules in trying somebody, that they get to make a defense and they get to answer for themselves. And that's very much the same sort of judgment. Now, when they had come together without any delay, the next day, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. So he's just recounting to Agrippa how this whole thing went down with the Apostle Paul. When the accuser stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed. Now at this point, I'm just going to remind you, Festus is brand new to Judea. Festus does not give any indication in any way, shape, or form that he even did his homework. Now, if you're going to rule somewhere, you would think you would ask and get your homework. And even inquiring of the things that had happened in Jerusalem, you just say, just give me the last 40 years in Jerusalem, right? Give me the last 30 years in Jerusalem. And somewhere in there, anybody talking about the last 30 years or what's going on in Jerusalem, somewhere in there, the person of Jesus Christ is going to come to the forefront concerning who he is, how he was crucified, and how he was risen again. Now, this came up to Festus in this trial of the Apostle Paul, and he had no real charges. And I draw your attention to verse 19. And tonight, I could just do the Bible study on verse 19, and we could be equipped. This is an equipping verse for us tonight. Some had questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Festus didn't do his homework, did he? What certain Jesus? Well, the Jesus who not only did all these miracles and power, right? He declared himself to be the Son of God. The Bible says that by the power of the resurrection from the dead, that was affirmed. All these rumors, right? All these words, all these things that were going on. And even if you would investigate, what are the basic religious problems in Jerusalem, right? At some point, Jesus is going to come up. Not just a certain Jesus, but it says who Paul affirmed to be alive. Anybody reading out of the New King James tonight? Right? Anybody reading out of the King James? Right? What's verse 19 say instead of religion? Superstition. So you look up this word, New King James says religion, and we just pass right by the word, right? But also when you see this word superstition, and I looked it up in the Greek, and it's a word to describe that this idea of being compelled in a religion to really make sure that the gods are pleased. Festus, in hearing the Apostle Paul, has reduced the resurrection unto a religious superstition. I thought about that as I was coming up. It's like, this is perfect for us now, living for Christ in a world 2,000 years ago in a land far, far away. This man died and rose again. What's that matter to us? You need to understand the majority of the people, unless this certain Jesus has been brought up to see really that they would know about the living God, they would know about the Son of God. You're going to have to start back in the beginning with many people to convince them that Jesus' death and resurrection some 2,000 years ago and halfway around the world to describe unto them that they would think it's anything but superstition. Now, I looked this up. This is kind of fun stuff to do. And in doing so, let's see, I think I still have it up here. If not, I'll find it again. Webster's 1828 Dictionary on Superstition. I'll just pull it up again. So, superstition. Excessive exactness of rigor in religious opinions or practice, extreme and unnecessary scruples in the observance of religious rites not commanded, or points of minor importance, excess or extravagance in religion, the doing of things not required by God, or abstaining from things not forbidden, or the belief of what is absurd or belief of evidence. Superstition has reference to God, religion, or beings superior to man. Second definition, false religion, false worship. Rite or practice proceeding from excessive scruples in religion, in this sense, it admits a plural. The idea here that Festus reduces the death and resurrection, again, and Paul's just affirming this man, Jesus, to be alive. In case you haven't noticed, what has Paul been talking about in front of all the religious leaders? What has he been talking about as he has been out? He keeps talking about Jesus rising from the dead, the resurrection from the dead. And I just simply remind you of this, where we recognize Resurrection Sunday. I don't care whether you call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday. I'm not going to get worked up over that. We're all aware that of the traditional religious practices or the superstitions that attach themselves to real holidays. We can all handle that. But we're not here about the superstition of Easter, are we? And you can think about how wonderful and true this is, that we're actually here to bear witness of the Son of God and his resurrection from the dead, power over death. He rose again, never more to die. And all Festus is reducing it all down to is superstition. Some religious practice that they got to do over there. It means nothing to him. I just remind you, right? I remind you that there are a whole group of people now, as the religions of the world move here with the people who move here from other countries. Right? It used to be that your great division in Grand Forks and Fargo and the counties was the Lutherans and the Catholics. And that were your two groups. Well, now you've got 20 groups, 25 groups. Now you've got the religions of the world. You have the religions of the world who believe something completely different about Jesus. Like the family that had moved to Fargo from India, doctors, you know, high caste, move here, and all of a sudden we're in front of them as they invited us to their house, and I just opened up, have you ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ now that you've moved to America? And I was able to share the gospel with them of Jesus Christ. And I had to convince them that he was unique from all the other gods that they had in their list of gods. Because Hinduism teaches there's millions of gods. You can worship whatever you want to worship as long as you want to worship it. And India requires you to register that with the government that you're going to worship this tree or this rock or whatever you're going to worship. They have to be registered to make it official. But we're there convincing them Jesus' resurrection from that. As we're sharing the gospel, never more to die. Nobody's ever done this before. See, and this is what I lay out to you concerning those that you'll meet. And when we're at UND and we're there and you know, I get to interact with the workers. Well, the last few weeks, all the workers they all practice Islam. They're in the month of Ramadan. So I can just, you know, all these things that what we're doing and you're going to have to start. And they're going to think that what you believe is superstition. See? And this is Paul with Felix. Felix should have known about Jesus, but he knows nothing from what we can tell. And I just remind you, his whole word was some some questions about their religion. Some, you can just see him just kind of, that's really superstition. Doesn't matter much. But the phrase, Jesus who had died, Paul affirmed to be alive. Now as we wrap this chapter up, Festus continues to describe to Agrippa, and because I was uncertain of such questions, you hear that? Now I just say, he should have done his homework. But he's 2 weeks there. You know what the Jews are trying to do? They're trying to take advantage of his inexperience to get him to make a quick judgment. You know, it's not too much different. You need to understand. Rome's trying to rule in that place, and the Jews underneath them have their own courts and rules and systems and laws. You do understand many places with Islam, right? They come into this country and they want to establish underneath the government, they want to establish their own rules and things of law and law enforcement and all that. It's not too different than what they were dealing with in Rome with the Jews. The same sort of difficulty of a people underneath the rule who had a different set of rules. And Festus is learning this real quick. I was uncertain of such questions. I asked whether he was willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But then when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear this man myself tomorrow, and you shall hear him. I just lay this out. Right. Are you available? Right. Are you instant in season when anybody in your life comes along? And I remember when I would whine and complain to God about nobody's listening to me. I'm teaching these Bible studies. Only two people show up, and just down in the dumps because nobody wants to hear the Bible studies. I invite people to Bible studies and nobody wants to show up. This is the beginning of the ministry for me when I started to pastor. It's like nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. And I just remember sometimes just like a whole Monday just being down in the dumps over this. And like Tony and I would walk down to the store, walk down to 5 minute walk down to the grocery store. We pick up like a jug of milk or something like that and come out of the store. And one day in particular, I just bumming over, nothing's going, nothing's happening. I haven't told anybody about Jesus, haven't invited anybody, don't want to, right? Don't want to talk to anybody about Jesus. I come out the door and the guy basically says to me, do you know anything about God? And this is the way our Lord is. And he got me in an instant right back in, if you will, in the game concerning the witness that the Holy Spirit has for people. Hey, let's stop looking past people. Right? You know how easy it is to look past people? To look past the person who's walking by you or wherever you might see them and say, Lord, I'm ready. And I kid you not, when he asked me that question, and I shared the gospel with him, and I don't even think it was about him. I think the Lord was working on me to be ready to have that witness of Jesus wherever I went. Agrippa is going to be in front of the Apostle Paul. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice show up with all the pomp and circumstance. Right? He's living like a king. King Herod. Do you realize Herod appealed to Caesar to use the title of king? I need to be the king. And that's the idea here. They come in with great pomp, right? He had entered the auditorium with the commanders, prominent men of the city. The who's who of the rulers of Judea are all there to hear the Apostle Paul. And Festus commanded Paul to be brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa, and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I brought him out for you, especially before you, King Agrippa. After the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. Please help me form a case against the Apostle Paul that when I send him to Caesar, I don't get in trouble with Caesar because I sent him a man who didn't do anything wrong. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not specify charges against him. I just lay this out for us. We're going to watch the Apostle Paul from this point forward make his way by word of promise that Jesus gave him, that just as he had bore witness of Jesus in Jerusalem, he is going to bear witness in Rome. Now, church tradition tells us that the Apostle Paul was able to stand before Nero, Caesar Nero. And again, we're going to watch the Apostle Paul with Felix, with Festus, with Agrippa. He's going to lay a witness on Agrippa and just compelling Agrippa to become a Christian. Now, it's said that the Apostle Paul, when he gave his witness to Nero, that after Nero rejected the gospel is when many of the things that if you study his life, when he did a lot of the crazy things that he did, that it's believed that when the Apostle Paul was in front of Nero, that he hardened his heart. And from that point forward, he hardening his heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ, went off to do all this persecution and all this harm. Ultimately, Nero is given the credit of putting some of the apostles to death. He's given credit for putting Paul to death and for putting the Apostle Peter to death. Both of them died in Rome at the hands of Nero. Now, I'm just going to say this. God has you where he wants you to be, and it might be a time of learning. You know what I learned of all those years, when I, early days and early years of ministry? I was learning how to teach the Bible. I was learning how to reach out to people. I was learning how to deal with these things. Don't ever discount that time of learning. God might have you at a place, learn the scriptures, right? I'm just encouraging everybody as we go through the book of Acts. Down in Fargo, I'm encouraging everybody, prepare your testimony. So when we come back to Acts 26 here in a couple weeks, and I just say this to you, the Apostle Paul is going to recount his testimony from the beginning. And it would be good for us to hear each other's testimonies up here in Grand Forks. So, adults, guess what you get to do here for the next few weeks when we're back together? I'm asking you to prepare your testimony of Jesus Christ. You can go back to the early times when he got saved. I am interested in hearing and having you prepare how you got saved. So you can read ahead in chapter 26. You can see how Paul recounts how he met the Lord on the road and how God met with him. Hey, who else could talk out loud while I was talking? If one of you would have said it, everybody would like, what's he doing talking like that? So just encourage you guys along the way. You know that there are people in your lives, right? Stop looking past people. I've never been in front of what I know of as great people. I've never had a governor, a mayor. I've never shared the gospel with anybody like that. But do you realize that even your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, or the guy on the street corner, or the woman, or the children that you're around? I mean, how many times I'm encouraging moms who stay at home and said, you have a great mission field right in your house. Your part to see to it that all your children come to the Lord and walk with the Lord and do these things. And just to encourage you along the way that even if you don't like the last couple years of your life, I'm sure the Apostle Paul didn't like the last couple years of his life. He's going to be in prison some more. You know, whatever trouble it might be. But are you ready? Are you ready at any moment to give an answer, a reason for the hope that's in you? I love the proverb that says that you have that wisdom in your life that you can answer those that send to you. The meaning that God can send you people. And I just share one from this week. Thursday night, Tanya and I, we do a Bible study at a parachurch ministry in Fargo. And as we're there and we're going there to do a Bible study, but that's not going to happen with all the chaos going on in the room. So we're going to pray for one another. We're just going to sit around and talk. Well, that sitting around and talking turned into about an hour pleading with a young woman to come back to the Lord. And she had run away and turned away from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit was pleading with her to return to Jesus. Didn't plan the night that way. Again, these are the things that are before us. Don't look past anybody in your life and say, Lord, I'm ready. And like that day when I was at the grocery store, I come out the door and the guy, I thought he was going to be asking for money and says, hey, do you know anything about God? Who asks questions like that? Well, I know that was the Lord getting me back, getting me out of my poor little situation and stirring me up to share Jesus Christ. So may the Lord bless you. May the word of God dwell in you richly, and may Jesus just continue to lead your lives. And, you know, I'm like this and stirring you up, talk about Jesus here. Just start practicing talking about Jesus wherever you go. You know, your friends, hey, do you know Jesus? You know, what'd you do for Easter? Did you go to church? Did you talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? What about the Son of God? You have a great opportunity tomorrow, don't you? Now, let's go ahead and close in prayer and we'll wrap up. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus and we thank you for the word of God. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be upon our lives, Lord, and you would stir us up to love and good works. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 So, next week we are back at UND. Right? Got it?
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. You guys are free. You're at liberty. Lord bless you.